We've come up now to the gospel. I call your attention this morning to the gospel of John, chapter 15. We will be looking at verses 4 down through verse 7. And for your hearing, I will read verse 7, and it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." This morning, still morning, we will use for a theme, vital connection. Vital connection. You may be seated. Some years ago, matter of fact, in 1977, in the July of that year, in New York City, lightning struck a transmission line, one of the main lines going into New York City, and all of the lights went out. It was known as the blackout of New York City. It stayed dark in New York City for 2 days, July the 13th through the 14th. It blacked out. This blackout occurred when New York City was going through a financial crisis. They thought they were in the red, but when the lights went out, they were in the black. 31 neighborhoods, there was tremendous amount of looting going on, and most of these neighborhoods were poor and black neighborhoods. LaGuardia and Kennedy Airport were shut down. 4,000 people had to be rescued that were in the subway. At Shea Stadium went dark at 9:30, and it was in the bottom of the sixth inning, and Lenny Ramsey was on second base, and the Chicago Cubs was leading the Mets by 2-1. But the lights went out, and the game couldn't be finished. So New York stayed in the dark for 2 days. But the point that I want to make is that the city lost its power source. The city lost its vital connection. And when you lose your vital connection, you're going to go in the dark. You're going to be in the dark. Many things happened in that city that day because they were in the dark. You may be in the dark today if you lose your vital connection, if you lose your power source. Today, I will teach that nothing works when it is deprived from its vital power source. Nothing works when it loses its power source. Coming up to Dr. King's birthday that they will celebrate on tomorrow, it reminds me of a time when it had got to be very difficult for the Montgomery bus boycott when it first started. And Dr. King had been elected as the president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, and the bus boycott was launched, and all of the buses riding through the city were empty, but the mayor and the city council was very upset. So they put a lot of pressure, especially on the people who were taking folks to work. One lady, Joanne Robinson, had received 17 tickets, traffic tickets, in 2 days. And so we see there was a lot of pressure on the people to stop this, because they could see that if this thing continued, and it did for 381 days, that it was going to bankrupt the bus system. But now the police were going to put pressure on people to stop this, and there had become so much pressure because people were calling Dr. King, telling them that they were going to lose their automobile insurance, and they kept getting tickets, and this thing just, it was just so much pressure. And Dr. King was coming from the church one day, and he got in his car, and he was riding around, and he saw some people standing there, and he picked them up, and he was going to carry them to where they needed to go. But the police saw Dr. King with the people in his car, and the police pulled Dr. King over and told him that he was arrested for some very minor infraction. But they put him in the paddy wagon. And Dr. King said he was so nervous because he didn't know where they were taking him. It seemed as though they were taking him out in the country because they were taking him around to the jail on Ripley Street. But Dr. King never knew where the main jail in town was. So they was riding him up and down all these roads. And he thought they were carrying him out in the country to lynch him. But they finally arrived at the jail on Ripley Street and got him out and put him in jail. And then he had to stay in jail there overnight. And when the people saw him in jail, they were so happy because they felt like Dr. King could get him out. He said, I can't even get myself out right now. So you all got to give me a chance to get settled. But anyway, the next day they got him out. But Dr. King came home. And when he came out of jail, rather, there was this big crowd there waiting for him and cheering him. But there was a deep, deep yearning in his soul. When he got home that night, he continued to get these phone calls that was calling him all kind of names. And his wife and children were in the room sleep, and this phone was just ringing. If it wasn't somebody complaining about losing their insurance or something that was going on, it was somebody calling him the N-word and telling him that he was going to be sorry that he ever came to Montgomery. So with all of this pressure mounting, and with so many people talking about that we got to give up this boycott because the police was just on us and it's too much pressure. All this pressure was on Dr. King, pressure from the community, pressure from the races, all of these people, this pressure was on him. So he said all he could do was go in the kitchen and make him a pot of coffee, but he decided to sit down at the kitchen table, and he put his head in his hand, and he held his hand down, and he said, Lord, you know I am afraid. He said, Lord, you know I cannot do this alone. He said, Lord, you know if these people in Montgomery that have just elected me the president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, if they are looking to me for strength, they're going to be lost. And I don't want to disappoint him, but he say, I'm just so afraid. I don't know how this thing is going to happen. And all of a sudden, there's something that Dr. King said came to him. And he calls it a still voice that spoke to him and said, listen, you go ahead and you do whatever you need to do. Because God had assured him that I will be with you. Dr. King got up the next day and went to work. But the main thing that happened in that kitchen that night, Dr. King got a vital connection. He got a connection with God to help him to realize no matter what he was going to be up against, it wasn't God. It wasn't him. It was God. It wasn't him being alone because God was going to be with him. So with that vital connection, he was able to move. And as we look at our lesson text, it says, abide in me. Verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you. And as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye expect ye abide in me. In our outline this morning, our first point will be connected and fruitful, verse 4 and 5. My next point would be fate of the unfruitful, verse 6. And my last point is the vital connection. When we look at verse 4, it talks about abide. And abide means to remain, to continue, to dwell, or to live. Now, these particular words were spoken when Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples. And as he gave them the instructions how they were to remember him with the communion, how they were to take the bread and that would symbolize his broken body, and how they were to take the fruit of the vine that would symbolize his shedded blood, after he had given them the instructions as to how this memorial thing would take place, as to how they could remember him. The very next thing that he spoke was this scripture that we are coming from today in the Gospel of John. He wanted them to know that when I go away, you are to remain in me. When I go away, you are to continue in me. When I go away, you are to dwell in me. You are to live your whole life in me. Jesus was asking the disciples to keep on living in him, even after he was gone to be in heaven. This was what he said when he wrote this in that same hour. He says, the branch cannot bear fruit unless it has. The branch does not have its own power. The branch has to be connected in order for it to bear fruit. It has to be connected to the vine. A grapevine cannot produce figs. A Christian cannot produce the works of the devil. He can only produce the works of God if he is attached to the branch, if he attached to the vine. See, the vine is God, and the branches are the people that do the work of God. But see, you cannot do the work of God unless you are attached to the vine. The vine comes up out of the root, but the root is what brings the nurturing and all of that stuff to the vine. But once you are no longer attached to the vine, you're going to run amok. But when we see verse 5, it says, and he lets you know who is the vine. He say, I am the vine. You are the branches. He said, I'm the vine. And you have to stay attached to me in order for you to do what you need to do. See, when you don't stay attached to God, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but when you stop coming to prayer meeting, when you stop doing your meditation, when you stop reading, when you stop praying, when you lose your vital connection, when you lose that, you lose your power. See, even Dr. King, with all his degrees, from a doctorate degree from Boston and seminary in New York, Coase done all of these things that Dr. graduating from Morehouse and going to Morehouse when he was 14 years, all of this stuff that he had accomplished, but he realized in that kitchen that night that all that stuff, father pastored Ebenezer Church, and grandfather was one of the in the first graduating class from, all that stuff didn't matter. What mattered was that he needed a vital connection in order to carry out what needed to be done. Jesus' allegory of the branches and the vine shows that we need this vital connection in order to bear fruit. Eventually, if you're not connected, eventually you're going to die. See, without God, we cannot do the things that we need to do. We cannot stay fruitful. Without God being Christ-centered, that marriage is not going to work if God is not at the center of the wheel. You've heard me talk about this in the grief ministry. In the South, you know, they had this big wheel, and then they had this wagon wheel, and they had the spokes going into the center hub of the wheel. But you could take a spoke out here and a spoke out there, and you could see a wheel running with missing spokes. But there is never going to be a wheel that's going to run when the hub is taken out. You take out the hub. See, no matter what happens to you, it's going to attack your center. And if your center is not Christ, you're going to have a problem. Problems going to come. Folk going to die. Things going to happen. Everything going to happen is going to attack your center. If your marriage is not Christ-centered, you're going to have a problem. If your career is not Christ-centered, if you're depending on those people that promoted you, just like they promoted you, they can demote you. If you depend, oh, they like me here. Well, when you depended on them liking you, one day they may not like you. And they don't like you because they just don't like you. Hallelujah. You don't have to do anything for them not to like you. They just don't like you. And a news flash, they never will like you. If you're trying to get wealth without being Christ-centered, you can't handle that money without God. You can't handle, now I told you, you can't handle that marriage, you can't handle that career, you can't handle that wealth. But the biggest problem is that you cannot live life on life's terms without God. All things going to happen. You heard me preach about Simeon. He said, what you do with Jesus is going to continue this rise and fall. But what you're going to do with Jesus is going to determine that. What are you going to do with Jesus if you don't have this vital connection? You cannot handle life on life's terms. But it says the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But he comes to give you life, not just life, but the abundant life. Oh, he comes to give you the abundant life. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something. Some of you in here, if you don't have that abundant life, see, when you have that abundant life, you can get up in the morning and you can have joy, unspeakable joy. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow. You can have joy when other things are going. Just like I went down there when I carried my wife to the doctor. She said, James, what you think? I said, nothing. And then when I saw her at home and my son had picked up, I said, now, what did the doctor say wrong? She said, just like you said, nothing. I called on the Lord. And he heard my cry. He pitied my groan. I know him by his name. I know him by Jehovah God. I know him as a Nisi God. Do you know him? The abundant life. Only Jesus Christ, the one true source of our power, the one that will make us feel secure, only knowing Jesus would help you to understand that. We talked about attached to the vine. There were some young boys, they were playing football, and their father had this huge tomato, you know, thing out in front of his house where he was growing tomatoes, tomato garden, or whatever y'all call it. Lee got one. He know what I'm talking about. So they had these tomatoes, and they were just about right, Lee. And one boy decided to go for a long pass. They was going to do this long bomb, and the boy went down, and he threw this long pass, and the boy caught him, and he landed right in the tomato patch. All these tomatoes fell. There they were lying down in this tomato patch. Oh, but he caught the ball. But they said, now what are we going to do when daddy come home with all, we got all knocked down all his tomatoes? And one boy said, well, I got an idea. I'm going to go get some scotch tape. And we're going to tape these tomatoes up to the vine, to the branch. So they went and they taped up the tomatoes. And the daddy came home, he looked over there the first day, everything looked pretty good. Son came out, they looked pretty good. Next day he noticed the tomatoes had started wizzling. Next day he came back, he looked over there and the tomatoes was just a mess. It was falling all down, and then he looked up and he pulled one of the things up and he saw the scotch tape. Called them boys out there, and I'm going to tell you, he let them have it. But they died because they were no longer connected to the vine. There was no falseness. There was no tape that could hold them up. Only Jesus could secure them. And in verse number 6 it says, and if a man abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. When you're not attached to the vine. First, it is cut off from the vine. then it withers. You've seen somebody cut off from the vine. Watch this process. First, they are cut off. Then they start withering. You've seen folks withering away. No matter how much lotion they put on, they still withering. They withering. And then they bundle them up. Have you seen them bundle them up? Whether they bundle them up and take them off to prison or bundle them up and take them somewhere else. But they bundle them up and they cast them into the fire. And then someone asked me one day, he said, can this process stop? Yes, it can. You can start all over. You can go back and get your attachment to the vine. You can go back and get your real attachment to the vine. But if you're not attached to the vine, you're going to be cut off. And then my last verse talks about vital connection. It says, and if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Jesus wanted these people to know. He was telling them that they must come to him in life. You must come to Jesus with your thoughts and with your works and with your actions and everything that you believe. You must walk and talk in Jesus. If God is going to abide in you and you are going to abide in him, then you have to act like God. You have to say, let this man be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. You have to behave like a child of God. If God is going to abide in you and you're going to abide in God, you're going to walk like you know him. You're going to talk like you know him. You're going to look like you know him. You're going to act like you know him. You're going to be Christ-like in everything that you do because you're going to have this Christ-centered life. Whosoever you shall call on the Father in my name, he will give it to you. See, when you're walking and talking to him, when you're praying and asking God for things, it said, whosoever call on the name of the Lord, and he said, he's going to bless you. And we have to be like God. You can pray that prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. He said, not my will, forget my will, but let your will be done. Let me just share something with you while I have a few moments here. There were some people during the civil rights movement, this thing really bothered me because they said that Eugene Bull Connor, the commissioner of safety of Birmingham, was a Christian. They said that Jim Clark in Selma, the sheriff, was a Christian. Well, I struggled with this thing for a long time because if they serve the same God that I serve, And I saw Bull Connor put the water on dogs and all them folk and doing all them children and stuff that he did in Birmingham. But if he could be a Christian, but you know, this scripture helped me to understand he wasn't attached to the vine because his behavior didn't carry out like a child of God. So I said if he wasn't attached to the vine, then help me to understand some things about this man. Because he wasn't attached to the vine. Several times in Birmingham, they even changed the structure of the Birmingham Council and all of this to get rid of him. After he got this reputation all on the national news of putting this up, even the white people in Birmingham wanted to get rid of him. They kept on trying to vote him out of office and do all of this kind of stuff to him. So they finally voted him out of office and he tried to change and run again. But his life became a living hell because, see, he wasn't attached to the vine and the stuff that he was doing led him into destruction. Jim Clark. They also said he was a Christian. But I kept on digging. You know, he went Bloody Sunday. 600 people tried to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And he had dogs and hoes on all these children and did all this bad stuff. And just because they killed Jimmie Lee Jackson, that's why the whole march coming up to this voter registration thing in Selma. In Selma. So we see here that Jim Clark, after the voter registration passed, y'all pay attention to me now. Y'all pay attention to me. After the voter registration thing passed in 1966, he was voted out of office.
by the same people that he tried to keep from voting. See, he wasn't attached to the vine, and because he wasn't attached, he was gathered up. But not only that, he was gathered up, a year later, a grand jury indicted him for trying to sell marijuana and trying to get it from Colombia. He was indicted. This man who used to be the sheriff, he was indicted. And then the next year, he was given 2 years in prison. He was put in jail with the same folk that he had locked up. See, I'm trying to get you to understand something. When you're not attached to the vine, it doesn't make it that you carry the label of a child of God. But if you're not attached to the vine, you're going to go into destruction. This man that was a sheriff, he ended up being in jail, being up being voted out of office. His wife left him. Everything that he thought was dear and near, he lost it. Dr. Martin Luther King, in his kitchen, prayed to God that God would attach him. And that small voice voted. And because God was with him, that Montgomery bus boycott became so successful, the bus company went bankrupt. Dr. King's reputation was elevated all over the country. Everywhere he would go, Dr. King, he led Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. He dismantled segregation and Jim Crow in the South. Dr. King got a Nobel Peace Prize. Bull Connor, folks trying to get him out of office while Jim Clark was in prison. But Dr. King was being elevated. Dr. King, oh yeah, you say, well, he was killed. Yeah, but Dr. King became greater. He came greater in death than he was in life. You have to understand, when you get this vital connection from God, man can't stop you. But the first thing, you have to make sure that you got the vital connection. Yes, sir. When you do something good and you're getting ready to graduate, they may say you got a cum laude. That's the first one. Cum laude is the first one. Now then they say if you got better than that, you're going to have a magna cum laude. Now y'all got it? You got the cum laude and you got the magnum cum laude. But when you get way up there, the highest one, that's the summa cum laude. Now, when you come to praise God, you have to praise God with the summa cum laude. Because he is the highest order. He's the highest order of all of them. When you look at what Dr. King was able to do, because he first got this connection. When you look what happened in Montgomery, when you look at all of this stuff that we have now, Dr. King taught us something. He taught us what could happen. He taught us what we could do. But now it's up to us to keep it. If we don't vote and let it be taken away from us, that's on us. I don't want to get into that one. But I just stopped out of here to let you know today that if God abide in you and you abide in God, whatever you ask God for, he's going to be willing to give it to you because you're attached to the vine. Once you're not attached to the vine anymore, the devil is going to come and is going to lead you into destruction. You can't do these things unless you attach to the vine. You got great plans in your life, but the first thing you need to do is make sure that you have your vital connection. They told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power. He said, don't take my church anywhere. Go back up there in that upper room and you wait on the Holy Spirit. Don't take my church nowhere. Don't try to go to Jerusalem, to Samaria, to Judea, or to the uttermost part of the world until you get my spirit, until you get my dynamite in you. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. After the Holy Spirit. After you get this vital connection. After you get it. Are you out there? Do you have the vital connection?